what I want to be known for is helping other people create passive income for themselves and their family so they can pursue their passions. So even on our website, we have Pursue Your Passions, right? That's really the goal for us. It's not buy real estate, invest in real estate, invest in whatever you enjoy. But the point is, create the time to do the things you love, whether that is be with your small children, whether that's travel the world, whether that's, you know, to go kayaking or other, you know, sporting events that you like, whatever it is that you enjoy, figure out how to do more of that, to not be bored, like you said, right? Not to work a job for 30 years and just be bored every day.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to introduce our guest for the day, John Kasman. John, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, everybody, John is a multifamily syndicator, podcast host, and marketing consultant. He has partnered with busy professionals to invest in over $100 million worth of apartments. So really excited to get into your story. John, will you please share with us, you know, I know you have a background in corporate America. Tell us a little bit about that and why you wanted to get into real estate investing in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, like many of your listeners, you know, for me, I wanted to get into real estate to create a little bit more control over my time and to have, you know, financial freedom or whatever you want to call it. But ultimately, I found myself working in corporate America where I did not control my time. I did not control my future. Even though I thought I did starting out, I realized very quickly that I did not have the control that I thought I had. And I really needed to take more ownership. And real estate just served as a vehicle to help me do that. To give you a little bit more context, I worked in corporate America. I was at General Motors, as you mentioned. I've worked at different advertising agencies. And I've been at two companies where I watched us actually go into bankruptcy. Fortunate for me, I kept my job through both of those bankruptcies, and I never missed a paycheck. So I was fortunate, but many of my colleagues were not. And again, it just really reinforced this notion that if I wanted to not live with that kind of fear and trepidation, as backwards as it may sound, I actually needed to remove myself from corporate America, or at least create an environment where I wasn't solely dependent on my W-2 paycheck. So my fear of losing my job actually forced me to be in a situation where I could lose my job and I was fine to walk away from it. And again, that really led me into real estate. I started investing with smaller multifamily properties, two-unit properties, three-unit properties. I scaled into commercial with an eight-unit property. I did some flips. And then ultimately, I realized if I really wanted to scale, if I really wanted to make this a business, I needed to go into larger apartment syndications. So we've done that. As you mentioned in my bio, we've partnered with investors on over $100 million worth of real estate. And for us, it really comes down to trying to find and identify people who are in a similar situation that I was in before. Maybe you've got a great job that you love, you're making great income, but again, you don't want to solely be dependent on that. Maybe you got money just sitting in the bank and you don't know what to do with it. And you're trying to figure out how do you best leverage the capital that you have? How do you make sure that this time you're spending in corporate America or the time you're spending doing whatever actually goes to good value? Because you want to have something to show for 30, 20, 40 years, whatever it is that you spend in corporate America, you want something to show for it. You need a nest egg. You need more than just that 401k plan. You need something to show for all of that hard work. And we help with partner with other individuals to help them create that passive income, get all the tax benefits that you get from investing in commercial real estate, and to diversify your portfolio so you're not solely relying on the stock market.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, you touched on a lot of stuff there, John. Very interesting. I want to just circle back to something that you said early on and just get really clear for the listeners, because I think it's so important for us to share our stories. When you say you didn't have control over your time in corporate America, can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, I mean, I was in middle management, right? So I had a pretty good career. I was working in advertising, was doing TV shoots, campaigns, stuff that was super fun, especially early in my career when I was, you know, single and didn't have any priorities or anything like that. But as you start to have other things that are priorities, family, other obligations, you know, traveling around the country and having to be on set or having to travel for meetings, it can just add up over time, you know? And for me, it just became a thing where I didn't have that control. You know, I had a team of folks. Sometimes I could delegate to a team member to go, but I recall distinctly my oldest son had a birthday, an early birthday, but I had to travel for a shoot. So I actually missed his actual birthday. And it was the first time I missed a birthday, the only time I've missed a birthday. But I just recall the feeling I had. I was there for his actual birthday party, but the day he turned, I think it was 3 or 4, but I missed it. You know, I was on set for a shoot and I'm, you know, on the phone and I'm looking at him video chatting. And I just remember everything that I had told myself to up to that point was for my family. You know, I was doing all this stuff for my family. I was working hard. I was hustling. I was, you know, investing in all these things. And I didn't even control where I could be and when I wanted to be there. I wanted to be with my son. I didn't want to be on set, but I, you know, for client reasons and other reasons, I had to go. And it just hit me, you know, I was sitting on set and I was so upset. I mean, I left the moment we were done with the shoot. I mean, they were still shooting other stuff, but once we got the big scenes, I jetted out, got on the next flight and went home. And I just recall that feeling I had that, you know, yes, I was a senior director or whatever my title was, group director, and I was doing well, I was making pretty good money, but I couldn't even control the fact that I couldn't be next to my son on his birthday. So I think for me, that's what it came down to. And I think, you know, you can get sucked into corporate America and having to travel or whatever the case may be, working late, whatever it is, working weekends. And I recall too, like there was a time when I was at GM where one of my directors, she ran the entire division, but she moved from California to be in Detroit to run the division. Well, shortly thereafter, maybe a year later, she ended up moving to Shanghai. And I don't know how much of it was her choice, but I just pictured her children. You know, she had a child who was just starting high school. Picture going from California to Detroit to Shanghai within a span of 2.5 years. And that's what I mean when I talk about control, right? I mean, there's the relocation aspect of it. There's the time commitment aspect of it. And it just was something that I wanted to have more control and more say over where I lived and, you know, what time I had to be in different places and all those kind of elements.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's just so powerful. And, you know, what you said about really, like, you were telling yourself you're doing all this for your family and hustling for that. And then just being able to take a step back and have some real honesty with yourself and help you go in a new direction, right? It comes, those moments of clarity can really help redirect us into a different direction. So thanks for sharing that. And I'd love to hear a bit more about, you know, what you mentioned about being in corporate America and how you want to have something to show for that at the end of, you know, a 30, 40 year career. Like, can you go into more about, you know, what it is that you maybe could have to show for all that time in corporate America?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first part of it is that, you know, ownership, right? I mean, you think about building a business, and I'm not saying you should quit corporate to go be an entrepreneur. What I'm saying is, the difference for entrepreneurs is the plan or the hope is, hey, you're going to build a business that you could pass on to your kids. You know, you're going to build this equity. You're going to have something to show that you've invested the last 20, 30 years building. If you are in corporate America, let's say you are a doctor, or maybe you're an attorney, or maybe you are a marketer or an engineer, it's great. You can build, you know, your career up. You can rise up the corporate ladder. But when it's time for retirement, do you have equity in anything that you can hand over to your family? And if the answer to that question is no, I think it's important for you to step back and ask yourself, well, what are you building? What's the legacy going to be? Do you just want to be a great employee, but all you have is a 401k and you don't have something that your family can now take and say, okay, mom or dad spent all these years building equity so that we could have a greater head start? And if you're not going to have equity in the actual company you're building, then you need to figure out how do you take the income you're making from this company, the salary, the 401k, all those things, and put it to work so you still have something you can pass along to your kids. And that's where the investments come into play, whether that is real estate, whether it is, you know, other businesses or, you know, whatever it is that you want to invest in. But you need to figure out a way to take the salary you're making over the next how many ever years and make sure you have some sort of investment, some sort of equity to show for that time. Because if you're just taking this high paycheck and you're, you know, living a great life, you've got a great lifestyle, you're being able to travel, you're buying nice toys and cars, but you don't have any kind of equity to pass along, I think that's a big risk. And it's a big mistake that a lot of people make. And I'm not saying you should live for the next generation, but I'm saying you should make sure you understand what you're going to have to show for the time you've put in, especially if you're prioritizing your career. If you're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and you're not in a position to create equity or to have investments that give you passive income, I think you're really missing out on the vision of what you need to be taking advantage of with your current time.
Yeah, I really like how you explain that. And I would love to just hear a little bit more about, you know, what generational wealth means to you, like why it's important for you to leave something, have something that you can pass on to your family.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, it's very important to me. And I think it's really important for a couple of different reasons. One of the things for me is just understanding where I come from. And everybody's got their origin story, right? And we all have our journeys, and your journey is your journey. And for me, not to bore you with all the details, but for me, you know, I'm a first, you know, I'm the first kid in my family to go to college, to graduate college. My parents were very young when they had me. Father's blue collar, you know, worker. My mom has worked in, you know, clerical kind of jobs. So I take a lot of pride in being the person who can break the financial chains or the financial trajectory that my family was on. That can't stop with me, right? If it stops with me, that's a nice kudos and pat on the back for John Kasman, but it doesn't mean much for the rest of the Kasman family. So I think I owe it to the folks who came before me to create an environment where the rest of my family can thrive and have a leg up going forward. So I think that's the first part of it. I think the second part of it is we all want to see the next generation do better than what we're doing. So if I can give them a leg up, if they can have the opportunities that maybe I wasn't afforded or I wasn't able to get, that puts them in a position to have more control over their future. You know, I was very limited in my choices for college, for instance. You know, I couldn't, whether I, you know, had the grades or not, I couldn't go to certain schools because we couldn't afford it. And quite frankly, I didn't know anybody who went to these schools. You know, there was such a learning curve for a lot of these things where I didn't have those people to help guide me down that path. So it's really important for me to be a resource and to be able to find the resources that's needed to help guide my children down the path that they want to go. And I think we all want to be healthy, happy, and self-sufficient. That's something that I think is critical for all of us as we strive through this thing called life. What makes you happy is might be very different from what makes me happy. And I don't want to dictate my vision to my children or to other people, but I do think it's important for them to at least be in a situation where they can pursue that happiness based on their own terms.
Yeah, for sure. You know, what you're saying like makes so much sense, and especially given your background. And there's just something I kind of want your take on, because it's something I've been thinking about lately. And, you know, I'm still kind of thinking over, but it's this idea of like when you pass, yes, like, I mean, obviously growing up relatively in like difficult circumstances means that you don't necessarily have the same advantages of others. But I think the other side of the coin is that like when you grow up in a family, which was not the case for me, but where you are independently wealthy and where you don't necessarily have to work to just pay for basic living expenses, then I guess personally, I've noticed that it can have very varying impacts on the kids, right? Or the children or individuals as they move forward from life. Like they don't necessarily have a drive to really make the most of their life. Sometimes, obviously, every person is going to be different. But that's just something I've noticed. And, you know, you think about like someone mentioned the Vanderbilt family recently who like had a ton of wealth, but then four generations later, there's like the Vanderbilts like really don't have much to show for that. And I don't really know the details of it. It was just someone mentioned it. And yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that. Like, how do you pass down not just material wealth, but also kind of like a spirit of contributing, making the world a better place, working hard, finding your passion, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that goes back to defining success though, right? So if I go back to me being on that set doing that TV commercial and the disappointment that I felt in my heart, the real reason I was sad is because I had always defined success as being a present father. And for me, that is number one. It wasn't about the money in my bank account, but it was about creating a lifestyle where I could be a present parent. And part of that, you know, my stepmother once told me something that just always resonated. She said, you know, as kids, you want to be adults. And as adults, you basically are trying to fix things from your childhood, right? So for me, I never realized how much of an impact it had. But I talked about my dad being a blue collar employee, right? And working the long hours. He worked second shift, third shift. I mean, a man just, I don't know when he slept. He very rarely slept. He bust his tail. You know, and he made a meager, you know, salary, but he did okay. And he continued to grind and rise up. But he wasn't able to attend a lot of the functions that I had for various reasons. And it never really bothered me at that moment, or maybe it did subconsciously. But when I think when I started thinking about having children, I really wanted to be present. I decided that when I left corporate America, a big reason I left, when we talk about that time control, was because I wanted to be able to go and coach my kid if he wanted me to coach. I wanted to be able to go to his practices. I wanted to be at his games. To me, that is how I define success. And I think every individual has to define success for themselves, whether it's monetary, whether it's time related, whether it is principles and all these different things, right? You have to define success for yourself. So when you start thinking about generational wealth, yes, there's a financial component to that, but you're right. There's a time commitment. There are lesson learns. There's about, you know, understanding who your grandparents were. It's all of these different things. Wealth is not just tied to money. You know, money is a tool that we use to create other things that we want, but it's not the only thing. So when you talk about how do you pass along these lessons and continue to educate, part of that's time. You know, my son just this morning, you know, he's 7 years old and he's got a book on investors and entrepreneurs. He's got a book called Robert, the Real Estate Investor. So he read that book. He's got a book on investing in vending machines and investing in video game coding. And he is educating himself. Now, obviously, I'm pushing some of this, but he's learning about entrepreneurship. He's learning about time. He's learning about the economy in a way of understanding how money flows. And these principles are there for him to understand what he wants to do in the world for himself. I don't want to hand him over a business and say, here you go, son, run it. If he wants that, that's great. But I don't expect that of him. So when we talk about the generational wealth, I don't know what he wants to do. And that's on him to figure out. I'll help him. I want to be a resource. But I don't want money to be a reason he can't pursue something that he's actually passionate about. And that's where I think it becomes really important is to have the means to help out our children, the next generation, and, you know, for them to have a leg up and hopefully to have some equity and some assets that can give them the chance to create the lifestyle for the next generation and the generation after that. But, you know, we're not an ultra wealthy family. We don't have those kind of means. And I don't necessarily aspire to that because you're right. I mean, those are a new set of issues that I'm certainly not equipped to know how to navigate. But on the same note, I think that ultimately you don't change who you are at your core. You know, as a person, money just really amplifies those things. So you have to stick to your principles and your guidance. And hopefully that informs the lifestyle that you create and then, you know, your path to generational wealth for your family.
Yeah, for sure. I just love having this conversation because hearing you speak, like on my mind, I always often think like, well, you just got to keep your eye on the prize, right? Like, what is the ultimate goal? Like, why are we actually pursuing this? Why are we pursuing generational wealth? And I think being able to give your kids a leg up is incredibly important. And then at the same time, obviously, as you said many times, like it's not all about money, right? It's about like, well, what really matters to you and being able to pass those lessons on to yourself. And every person's going to have different and it's going to shift with every generation, but just having a holistic view on it. And, you know, we're all shaped by our past, right? Like for me, we were pretty much like, I don't feel like we really struggled. I mean, we weren't uber wealthy, but we didn't struggle financially. But what I do remember from my childhood is that my dad, who is a very capable software engineer, was really bored at his work. And he was just bored his whole career. And bless his heart, he worked really hard. I mean, well, not to say he worked really hard, but he worked for 30 years, you know, however many years it was. He worked for his whole career for IBM. And ultimately he was bored at work. And that's what I remember, right? And so the legacy that left on me was like, the last thing I want is to be bored at work. Like, and I was bored at work when I started working after my business school degree. I was bored at work. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But anyways, I think it just speaks to the fact that we are the product of our childhood and the influences that, and on some level, we're soaking it up. And it kind of is what helps drive our meaning moving forward. And we have to be very intentional about that. So, well, we've really gotten very philosophical today, John, so far. So thanks for going there with me. I'd love to hear, you know, just a bit about what it is that you're working on in real estate right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I mentioned, we really partner with other investors to acquire apartment buildings. So in 2021, we closed on about $20 million worth of apartments in around 100 days. And we partner with many investors on these deals. So we're always looking to find the next investment opportunity. We're just looking to expand and kind of connect with other investors who want to take advantage of all the benefits that commercial real estate has to offer. Again, we talked about cash flow, the tax benefits, there's appreciation potential. And you know, right now we're seeing great inflation that's taking place. So having a hedge against inflation, real estate's a great tool to do that. So we are partnering with people to do that. So, you know, we have different resources on our website. If people want to read some of the articles we have, or if they want to sign up to be a potential investor, we have all that available. You can go to casmancapital.com to learn more about that. And for us, it really comes down to helping other families as well. You know, going back to our conversation about generational wealth, what we found is, yes, we can do this by ourselves. And, you know, when I started investing, again, buying that 2-unit, 3-unit building, I was focused on building my portfolio. As I started talking to friends and family and other people, and I'm excited, I'm telling them, hey man, you know, you can do this, you can invest in this real estate thing and blah, blah, blah. And I would watch their eyes just gloss over. And they're like, dude, I'm not trying to do all that. Cause I'd gone deep, right? I'd read the books, I listened to the podcast, I've attended the events. You know, I started investing in actual properties. I'm starting to expand my network. I know all these investors now. And it is a very real tangible thing that has taken over every fiber of my life and my mind, my thought process. So when I speak to somebody, anytime you're really passionate about something, that passion is going to come out. And I watch people who were not as passionate about me respond with a lack of passion, but I knew how important this could be to help them. And that's where it started to pivot for me to say, you know what, maybe this is not just about you building your own portfolio. Maybe you can partner with people because we had a need for capital as well. And if other people want to invest without becoming a landlord, this is actually the perfect marriage. And that kind of took us down that pathway. So when I think about, you know, the legacy and where we're going with the business, I've realized that fundamentally what I want to do and what I want to be known for is helping other people create passive income for themselves and their family so they can pursue their passions. So even on our website, we have Pursue Your Passions, right? That's really the goal for us. It's not buy real estate, invest in real estate, invest in whatever you enjoy. But the point is create the time to do the things you love, whether that is be with your small children, whether that's travel the world, whether that's, you know, to go kayaking or other, you know, sporting events that you like, whatever it is that you enjoy, figure out how to do more of that, to not be bored, like you said, right? Not to work a job for 30 years and just be bored every day. Let's not pursue that lifestyle, right? Let's actually take advantage of the time we have on this planet, do the things we love with the people we love, and use real estate as a tool to help us find more time for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, love all of that so much. And, you know, I'm completely on the same page. And yeah, I hope you all take some time to reach out to John, check out his educational resources to learn more about how this all works. Thanks so much, John, for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.